Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
Walk your walk brave. When you land a setting at the table of inner peace, you immerse yourself in all the sublime silence and calm. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. Indulge in the divine indulgence of completeness. For the whole entire is yours. You are so deserving of loving yourself. Don't be afraid to do it. No matter how tall, short, thin, wide, or what shade. Be at one with your center and walk your walk brave. I visionary, I creative, I sunshine, I fearless, welcome to I artist. I am GD, producer and host of A Touch of Grace. Today's date is January 10th, 2014. The time, 1:30 p.m., and it's Friday. I am inspired by my fellow creatives and most certainly honored to have a gifted young lady who's been paving the way for others to follow. With two books under her belt and a successful Blog Talk Radio show of her own, she arrives in a funnel of inspiration, and her name is Miss Kezia Davis. Kezia, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you're having me today. How are you?
Oh, you know what? I'm doing great. It's 2014. I just got off of a really crazy cold, but I'm very excited to have you as the very first guest in the segment that I call I Artist. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yay! I'm excited.
All right. So I guess for the people listening, why don't you tell us a little bit about your childhood and that defining moment that ignited the spark for this creative journey for you?
Well, growing up, I was always the shy, ticking time bomb. I say this because I wouldn't bother anyone, but when tested, I would strike. I just stayed to myself reading, writing, or singing while looking out my bedroom window. I started out writing poetry at the age of 9-ish. And then I decided that after reading so many books from other authors that I would write my own book. I wrote a book about this girl being in love with a celebrity and she finally meets him. But secretly, I was talking about my obsession with Ginuwine a little bit. I had a little obsession with Ginuwine. Luckily, I lost it in my old computer. So that's what ignited the spark. I just all of a sudden got tired. I've read dozens of books, and then something came to me, well, why don't you write your own book? So I just, my creative mind just went to going, and there it was.
All right, so now how many books do you have? You have two, is that right?
Yes, I actually published my first edition of Visions of Love back in 2009 or 10, but I redid it. I just recently redid it, and so now it's the second edition. So I have The Lily in the Valley, Discover Your True Identity, which is a self-help book, and then I have Visions of Love, second edition, which is a Christian fiction.
Okay, that sounds fantastic, and the world definitely cannot get enough of positive literary gifts out there for people to read.
Absolutely.
And be inspired. Yeah, so I want to go back to that first book that you wrote. You were writing, the one that you wrote about the young lady who had the obsession with the entertainer. Is that something that you are going to see all the way through and into publishing?
No, that story was completely lost in my old computer back when I was 9 years old. So I absolutely won't, nobody would ever read that, and I won't ever see it again.
Ah, well, you know what? At least it's inside of you and you carry it around. I bet you it will resurface eventually. So this is what I want to know a little bit about your childhood, a little bit more. What was childhood like for you? Was it happy or Because usually we write, a lot of us write when we are like a journal. Would you say that your writing has been a journalistic type of adventure for you, or is it just totally fiction and made up and a love for telling stories?
That's an interesting question. I would say journalistic. I pretty much write to based on experience or based on what I've seen or based on what people have told me that they deal with in their lives. So I would say journalistic because writing was a hobby for me. I've always loved writing. It was a therapeutic way for me to get my feelings out, a therapeutic way for me to deal with situations. So, yeah, I would say it was journalistic.
Oh, well, and on that note, was there ever a moment in your writing exercises that got too emotional for you and it required you to come back to it?
Yes. When writing The Lily in the Valley, I wrote about my cousin's drowning and about how I felt when my grandmother died. My grandmother was my rock. She raised me from an infant, and she was like my mother. She was my mother. I was very close to her, and I lost her. It took me a while to get over her death, so discussing her was very emotional for me.
Wow. I know that. And so when you go back to read, have you gone back and reread your books?
I usually don't like to, but I find myself going back to reread it. Yes, I do, especially The Lily in the Valley, because The Lily in the Valley, it's like I said, it's a self-help book, and it inspires me because there are some things I wrote in that book that I didn't even know I had. So I make sure, like when I write, it's Holy Ghost driven. So when I go back and read, I'm like, wow, did I say that?
Yeah, it's almost like an out-of-body experience sometimes for us as artists. Would you say that the characters in these books found you, or did you actually go after them?
That's a difficult question. I would say I went after them. That's a difficult question. I would say I went after them. They didn't so much as come after me. If you can clarify it, I can better answer it. It just seems like, you know, it's a difficult question.
You. Well, one thing that I found, I had an artist on the show, and they described the character building process as one where they were assigning attributes to their characters based off of what they wanted the characters to have. And then there are artists that have come on that have said that, you know, the writing came to them in a dream, the format. So the characters almost came to them and begged to be written. So I'm not sure if
now,
does that make
that
sense?
You mentioned that dream, the book that my upcoming novel, Envy Before Betrayal, it came to me in a dream. That's one of my upcoming novels that I'm going to write about. It actually came to me in a dream. But the other ones, The Lily in the Valley and Visions of Love 2, no, it did not come to me in a dream. I would say I found the characters.
Okay, that's great. And so when we're talking about character development, how would you categorize your writing style and your approach to developing those characters?
I would say descriptive, persuasive, narrative, and, of course, Holy Ghost inspired. So, you know, I'm very descriptive in my characters. I'm very, especially when it comes to self-help, because I write Christian fiction and self-help. So I'm combining the two. So if I'm going to write a self-help book, I'm going to be very narrative, very persuasive. If I'm going to write about a Christian fiction book, it would be very descriptive, you know, and very persuasive. So that's what I would say my writing style is, if I was to categorize it.
Mm-hmm. And so in the persuasive writing style, then almost definitely as a reader, I would be pulling from your words for inspiration. So have you gotten an opportunity to talk to any of the readers of your book to get their feedback, and what was that feedback like?
Oh, wow. Yes, actually, yes. I'm always getting feedback from my book, especially The Lily in the Valley. The Lily in the Valley, I hear a lot of people say, oh, you know, it touched me. Oh, you know, I read it over and over again. Oh, you just don't know what that did to me. And you know, people need to be inspired, uplifted, and rejuvenated. People need to understand who they are and whose they are and who they belong to, and to understand that they are purposeful in this life and in this journey, no matter what, you know, road that they take. And so I'm always getting positive feedback for the Lily in the Valley.
Great. Have you had any public speaking gigs about your books? Autograph running celebrations. Has any of that came yet for you along this time, along this journey?
Public speaking, no. Although many people say I should. Have I had any signings? Yes. But as far as public speaking goes, no. And people keep telling me I need to do that. So maybe I need to do that one day.
Well, one thing that I can certainly say, I was telling you a little bit about the picture that I see of you, and it just, when I look at it, it draws me into it because you just seem like you have this inner peace about you. And so what I know as an artist, every artist has their own unique voice. So would you say that you have found yours, and what message are you hoping to convey creatively?
Yes. Yeah, I would say I have found my voice. Again, I know who I am. So, I can say I found my voice. Help me understand. Give me the question again. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. You're doing just fine. I'm glad because I like the way that you're really thinking about this. So when we're talking about our own voice as a creative, we're talking about something that's very consistent, something that's very in tune with a social conscious out there. So when, you know, just by you describing your book, it seems to me like, because nobody gives us a book that tells us, you know, exactly how we're supposed to respond to a lot of life experiences and adversities. So when I mention an artist that has their own voice, I'm thinking about a message that is always consistent in anything that they write. Is there something that is consistent?
Right, I understand. And then, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, go ahead.
Yes, and, you know, you're right. I do have my own unique voice. The message that I hope to convey creatively would be that you could still write with Jesus in mind while at the same time relating to real life, real world experience and concerns in our everyday life. Again, you know, so many people go through so many things in life. It's you know, a breath of fresh air to open up a book and to read into the lives of other people, whether it's fictitious or whether it's truthful, that compares to yours. So it's just like ministry. It's just, in my opinion, I'm ministering through my book, through what I write. So when I'm writing to inspire.
That's great. And so when you're talking about inspiring, and you sound to me like you're a very spiritual person. So was there ever a time as far as spirituality when you doubted your ability or doubted yourself? And if so, how did you overcome that?
No. I wouldn't say that there was ever a time where I doubted it. It was a time where I got frustrated because it was one book. It was supposed to be The Lily in the Valley, but it was something else. And then it was another book that I wrote about, and I ended up losing everything through my computer because Phyllis needed it and saved it. So it was a lot of frustration. And in order for me to have went back to it, I had to motivate myself. You know, you can do it. You can try it again. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it can be complicated. Yes, you may not remember everything that you said, but in all things, you know, again, I'm so very spiritual, and, you know, I'm a Jesus lover. I love him to death. And it's like, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. So instead of me nowadays getting frustrated, I seek him first to give me that peace, to give me that knowledge, to give me that understanding, and to give me that wisdom. If I lose anything, I ask him, give it back to me, or give it to me better. Give it to me 10 times better than what I lost before.
That's beautiful. I like how you said that. And on that note, is there one character in your book captured your focus and impacted your life?
Yes. In Visions of Love, I would say the character that interests me the most was Desiree in the short story Scattered Broken Pieces.
Okay. And how did she impact your life?
Her strength and her ability to give love another try in spite of what she went through in her childhood was amazing to me. She just managed to find solace and discover the type of love that she always wanted, loving herself, loving God, forgiving, and taking the chance of loving beyond the brokenness, beyond the shattered pieces. She understood that she needed Jesus and that he was the craftsman and the one who could mend those broken pieces. And she went through a lot of things. Her mother told her she would never be nothing. She went through a stage when her mother's husband, you know, had sexual intercourse with her.
Mm-hmm.
She went through a whole lot of things in her life that would have really damaged someone, and it did. It did in her. It did. It damaged her so much that she grew up in it. She grew up believing that she would never find love, that she would never be loved, and she would never know what love is. And her strength and her tenacity and her ability to move forward beyond what she was taught and beyond what she thought she knew, she inspired me a lot. She was very effective in my life. She motivated me. In a great way, and a lot of characters in that book inspired me, but she inspired me the most.
Great, great. It sounds like a great read. And for those of you who are just tuning in to iArtist here on A Touch of Grace, I'm speaking to the beautiful spirit known as Kezia David. She's very gifted. She's an author. She's also a Blog Talk Radio host as well. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how you wandered into the Blog Talk Radio realm. When did that take place?
Well, it took place some time ago. I wanted to give a message to people, still with Jesus in mind, but talk about facts, talk about good topics that interest people, good topics that you know, still again inspired. Why did I do Blog Talk Radio? I do not know. I just woke up and said, okay, I want to do a radio show. And that's what I did, and that's what it was. Nothing spectacular caused me to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so do you remember any of the guests and what those experiences were like as you were hosting the show? Because how long were your shows? Were they 30-minute spots, or did you do the whole hour thing?
Sometimes I did 30 minutes. Sometimes I did an hour. It was based on what I was doing, because I also did a show about solely music, just listening to jazz, soft jazz, gospel, and some, you know, old-time R&B, and that lasted an hour long. Then I had interviews with people like Minister Jazz from Hair Batter Spectacular, some very gifted artists that I had some interviews with that were memorable, and I miss those moments because I haven't did a show in a while.
Oh, wow. Do you think it's something that you're going to go back into at any point in time?
I think so. I think one day I will. Right now, my schedule is just so hectic, which is why, you know, I haven't did a show in a while. But I think I will. I think I will.
Well, that's great. Well, you know what? It'll be great to have you on. I consider you a fellow artist and a colleague as well. And I want to go back and listen to some of your shows, because I did. I believe that I listened to a couple of them early on, and that's how we actually met, is that
cool.
You were doing Talk Radio. So I want to talk a little bit about memorable moments along this journey, this creative journey for you as an artist. Have there been a couple or a particular one that really let you know that you were right on?
Again, it was just those moments when people would come to me and say, "Oh, your book touched my life," or something in your book touched me, and you know that is a memorable moment for me.
That's okay, darling. You're doing fine. So when you're talking about memorable moments, I know that there are these crossroads that we sometimes stand in the middle of as artists, and then some defining thing will come. Like you said, somebody will come up to you, and they will let you know that what you're doing is great, and it re-sparks whatever inside of us to kind of push forward. So have there been moments like that for you along the journey?
Well, growing up, I grew up in a surrounding. Yes, I had a good childhood, but I grew up in a surrounding where I didn't have a lot of motivation, where I wasn't motivated to do anything with my life. Just seeing the look of pride on my family member's face to see me accomplish what I set out to do is a memorable moment in itself, because I was supposed to be, according to the statistics, I was supposed to be someone who was on welfare with 3 or 4 or 5 kids with no future. So, yes, to see that look on their face, to hear people say, you know, "Good job, your books inspire me, keep writing, keep doing what you do," those are memorable moments for me.
All right, that's great. Now, I'm gonna do a little visionary thing here with you right now. So here I am. I'm a young lady, and I have tuned in to listen to G.D. Grace talk to Kezia Davis. And right now, my world doesn't seem that bright. What are some words of wisdom that you would like to give to me as this young girl who seems to be that the odds are against me? What is something inspiring that you can tell me?
I could tell you first. Know who you are. Because when you know who you are, then there's nothing that can deter you from doing anything, that can make you feel inferior to anything. And in order to know who you are and to know what you are and who you belong to, you got to know who Jesus is. You got to know who God is in your life, and you got to know what your purpose is on this earth. You know, you got to still move forward, you know. Keep striving. Do what you need to do. Learn to motivate yourself, because at the end of the day, true motivation comes from within. No matter what no one tells you, you are someone and you are superior, and you could be whatever you want to be in spite of who you are, in spite of what you've been through, in spite of what you're going through. There's always someone that loves you so much more. And, you know, I can just, only thing that I can say is love yourself. Be you. Be happy for who you are. Be okay with who you are. And just discover that love within, that love inside.
That's wonderful. That's very wonderful. So the show is being recorded, and I'm glad that we captured that over the radio wave so that someone can listen and find some type of inspiration for their own life. So now here's another task that I'd like you to do right now. If you were given the ability to travel back in time, what message would you tell young Kezia Davis?
I would tell her, girl, slow down, be yourself, trust in you, and run as fast as you can into the arms of God and appreciate life and those who are in it.
Oh, that's wonderful. So now, where can your books be purchased for the listeners?
Okay, great. On my personal website, www.keziadavis.com, that's KEZIADAVIS.com, which will be completed by the end of the week, and on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and other online distributions. All you have to do is just Google me, and you will see all my work and where they look, all the sites that they're located on.
Fantastic. And here's another one for you. In life thus far, besides God, who has been your greatest inspiration?
My daughter. She has always been a great inspiration to me. She saved my life, I would say, because I was going in the fast lane, and she helps. She keeps me on, you know, solid ground. She keeps me moving. She keeps motivating me. She gives me a reason to be someone, because when you have children, you want to set a positive example for them. And in order to set a positive example for them, you got to be a positive example. You got to set an example. You got to let them see what you're doing, because some kids only mimic what they see in the first place. So if you're doing greatness, then they're going to mimic your greatness.
I couldn't have said it any better. It's almost like you are leading by example, and I think that your daughter has a wonderful muse to map out her life, to have the confidence that it's going to take. Oh, girl, you are just a wonderful spirit, and you are so right, and we're so right to be chosen as the first guest here for the new segment called iArtist on Blog Talk Radio, A Touch of Grace. So with that in mind, what are your creative plans for 2014?
I just plan to just continue writing Christian fiction and self-help books and touring. I'm going to be doing a whole lot of touring, a whole lot of book festivals. I'm going to be going to an expo. So I'm just going to be really trying to get my books out there in the right way. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what I plan to do, and just bringing out two other novels that I plan to do in 2014, which will be a self-help book called Shipwreck, Surviving Through the Broken Pieces. And then I would come out with a Christian fiction book called Sister Girls.
I like this. I love your titles. I mean, they're just so run on the money, and I could definitely see bestseller for Kezia Davis. Now, listeners, you're welcome. You've been listening to iArtist, and you've been listening to the wonderful life of Kezia Davis, who is a novelist and also a Blog Talk Radio host. Tomorrow I will be interviewing the novelist John Collins on A Touch of Grace, and then on Sunday I will have the artist and novelist publisher Eddie Saron Pierce also on the show. So with that, I want to go ahead and give Kezia a moment for some final thoughts for the listeners. What would you like to leave listeners with today as a lingering inspiration?
Okay, sure. Do whatever it is that you are purposed to do. Know who you are. Discover who God is. Realize how much he loves you and how bad he wants you to prosper. For writers, never give up. Never quit. Keep writing. And be the best you that you can be. Be the type of person that you would like your children to be when they become older. Be the type of person that you will want people to marvel over, let them see the light in you. I would say just keep working hard. You know, delay is never denial. Keep doing what you're doing, and pretty soon it'll come along great for you.
That is wonderful. Very profound words of inspiration for listeners out there. Listeners, this segment that I lovingly call I Artist, I Visionary, I Creative, I Sunshine, I Fearless, I Artist. When you listen to these shows, reach inside yourself and know that you are so worthy, that you are so loved. And with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and end the show on a positive note. It is 2014. Whatever you have inside of your heart that you choose or so desire to do, let no one stop you. Kezia, I want to say thank you for stopping by. And my friend, please promise to keep in touch.
I will. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And everybody, that's the bow on the show. This is a wrap for the first show of the season. And remember, there's an artist that lives in you. Take care. All right.